As he lay dying on the deck, his final question embodied devotion that sails with every Coast Guardsman. Did they get off? Well, I don't
know why I came here tonight. No comment needed, right?
Some unfortunate choice of wording there. I'm so scared
in case I fall off my chair. Oh, brother. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Here I am. Yes, I'm stuck in the from Pacifica Radio in Rocky Los Angeles. This is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. I know a lot of people wondered, where the hell is Ridgecrest? I bet they know now. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, Round Mountains KKRN, and Eureka's KGOE. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Out in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WLRI, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP. In Grand Rapids on WPRR, New Orleans on WHIV. In Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN. Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ. In Seattle on KODX. In Janesville, Wisconsin on WADR. And Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe for you every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR, Revolution 99, Workforce Rising, Deprogrammed Radio, and Detour Talk, amongst other fine affiliates. Blanketing Planet Earth, 5 days a week. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. We got, a busy show after a busy weekend. And so let's start here. Donald Trump's 4th of July salute to America's violent and deadly militaristic past, present, and future. On the steps of the Lincoln Monument, where actual peace activists and civil rights heroes like Martin Luther King once called for peace and kindness rather than celebrating violence and death. Well, that all went off very, relatively smoothly on the nation's Independence Day last week, though it included a few odd references to American troops taking over airports during the Revolutionary War, the Continental Army taking over airports, right? Before, of course, there were any such thing as, you know, airplanes. Trump favorably name-checked those courageous civil rights pioneers who broke the law in the 1960s by sitting at the Woolworth's lunch counter. I can only imagine what he would do if that happened today. Good thing those guys at the lunch counter did not kneel instead of sitting there to their, when objecting to their unequal treatment. Am I right? Trump also name-checked Frederick Douglass twice, but did not otherwise say a word about him or who he was or what he did. He mentioned Harriet Tubman, presumably as another civil rights hero, but didn't mention that his own administration has blocked her from appearing on the $20 bill as previously scheduled by the previous administration. And the speech naturally concluded with the Battle Hymn of the Republic, a salute to God and war, which includes the lyrics, by the way, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. Always nice for an otherwise secular holiday celebration using taxpayer money siphoned from entrance fees to our national park so that Trump could celebrate himself. Always nice to throw in Christ when you can, since,
That's the celebration that he gave himself, since few others wanted to celebrate him. Desi Doyen, yes.
And it did not take long for his campaign to edit together a nice 2020 presidential campaign commercial out of all of that footage that the taxpayers paid for.
Of course, that's what it was for. So you had a shot of Donald Trump in front of the Lincoln Memorial. But anyway, that was just the kickoff for an insanely busy long news weekend that continues today, and about which I welcome your calls on any and all matters in a little bit at 818-985-5735 if you'd like to queue up now. And as the Department of Justice flipped its position, announced last week that it was abandoning the quest to add a question on citizenship to the 2020 U.S. Census after Trump called that confirmation that they were not going to add that question. That confirmation came from both the Department of Justice and the Department of Commerce. Donald Trump took to Twitter to call it fake and said, yes, we're moving ahead anyway, in a tweet, which left the DOJ lawyers scrambling to explain the administration's new position to a federal judge. So on Sunday, the entire DOJ legal team, who had been defending the matter for months, but who had conceded that they had lost after the Supreme Court came down with their ruling, that whole legal team has now been replaced in a disturbing sign of the Trump times. But that's what you get from a president who is inept and uniquely dysfunctional and whose presidency, quote, could end in disgrace. That is not me talking there. It's not unusual for me to say something like that. But of course, those are the leaked words of the British ambassador to the U.S. over the weekend. We also had the awesome U.S. women's soccer team winning their second World Cup in a row, their fourth overall, despite personal attacks from the inept and uniquely dysfunctional president of the United States, who they didn't seem to care for much either. Republican Tea Party Congressman Justin Amash announced over the weekend holiday that he is leaving the GOP as he continued his calls for Trump's impeachment as one of the most effective voices in either major party, frankly, to be doing so. And he is holding Democrats, specifically Nancy Pelosi, accountable for not doing so. I hope to have a little bit more on that a little bit later today. What else is going on? Well, billionaire hedge fund manager and Trump pal Jeffrey Epstein was arrested and charged with sex trafficking in Manhattan over the weekend. He was arraigned on Monday in federal court. He has pled not guilty to two charges of sex trafficking. That after years of questions about an earlier plea deal that he received from Donald Trump's current labor secretary, Alex Azar, who was at the time the federal prosecutor that gave Epstein a sweetheart plea deal back in 2008, unlawfully failing to notify Epstein's dozens of alleged victims, many of them underage, as young as 14 years old. But in 2002, which is the beginning of the time period for which Trump, for which Epstein is being charged today for sex trafficking, Donald Trump had described Epstein as, quote, a terrific guy. He told New York Magazine in 2002 that Epstein is, quote, a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side, Trump quipped. Back in 2002. And in more nonstop news, Iran announced on Monday that it is now exceeding uranium production limits previously set by the landmark nuclear treaty struck during the Obama administration. That move comes in response to Trump pulling out and breaking the deal in May of last year that had severely limited the Islamic Republic's nuclear production. In a deal that all agreed they were, in fact, abiding by until now, since, thanks to Trump breaking that deal. And yes, the 2020 Democratic presidential campaign continues amidst all of this. And as we're driving to the studio today, haven't even got to look at the story yet, but apparently Congress is now subpoenaing some of Donald Trump's businesses for information as they try as they might to get some accountability from this president. Oh, yeah, it was also 90 degrees in Fairbanks, Alaska over the weekend. not strange at all. As the administration continues to bury and otherwise censor climate science that is needed to help us face our worsening climate crisis. And oh yeah, out here in Southern California, we experienced two of the strongest earthquakes in about 20 years. Did you feel it? I know our listeners in Ridgecrest and China Lake certainly felt it, as I did as well, by the way, at least the second one, all the way out on the coast near Santa Barbara in a very confusing 30 seconds of feeling like I was suddenly on a boat out of nowhere, even though I was just sitting there. Very strange. Des, you didn't feel it at all,
No, I didn't feel it at all. But I do want to point out that
you're not very sensitive. I just want to point that out. But
that Anchorage heat wave, to get back to climate change, that is definitely a fingerprint of climate change. This is Anchorage has hit 90 degrees or higher for 4 days, 5 days in a row now. That has never happened before. And each successive day has broken the previous day's record.
And, of course, there was also 4 inches of rain in Washington, D.C. over 1 hour. Right about that. One hour on the day.
The National Weather Service issued a warning of life-threatening flooding because of this 4 inches in 1 hour in an area that already has trouble with floodwaters and controlling heavy downpours.
On the same day, by the way, that Donald Trump gave an environmental speech about how the U.S. is leading the world when it comes to the environment, which I know we'll cover on tomorrow's broadcast on the Green News Report.
Yep.
So, you know, all of that, just your regular old slow midsummer. Summer Holiday News Weekend. I'm happy to talk with you about any and all of that when we open our phones at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, especially any listeners out in our listening area near Ridgecrest. I know that there's a lot of folks who felt that earthquake. It was quite terrifying, 7.1 over the weekend. So I want to hear from any and all of you out there about any or all of those things I just mentioned. But there is another story that I want to try and fit in here very quickly with a guest, as I was forced over the past week or two to sort of push this off due to other breaking news. But now this one is getting quite serious and coming up before the California State Assembly this week in a measure that could ultimately affect the entire country, which often follows what California does, affect not just the country, but the lives and deaths of millions of Americans. Let me start here. In a new Suffolk University USA Today poll out just before the holiday last week on the 2020 Democratic presidential contenders and the mood of the Democratic-leaning electorate, they found that those surveyed said that the most important issue affecting their support of the various presidential candidates on the Democratic side is health care. That was named by nearly 3 in 10 who are asked in the survey. Other top issues include, yes, climate change, immigration, and income inequality, two issues that often determine the presidential elections. Economy and national security, they only scored single digits. So healthcare was the top named priority. But as with the electorate last year, healthcare is maybe on the minds of all Americans, certainly all Democrats, which makes this story out of San Francisco last week and now moving into the California State Assembly even more troubling, at least to me, in my opinion. And I'm fairly certain to the opinion of my guest who is standing by. Last week, San Francisco Mayor London Breed signed an ordinance that effectively bans all e-cigarette sales within the city of San Francisco. It's the first of its kind in the U.S. Now, regular old harmful, deadly cigarettes, they're not banned. Just the far safer electronic versions that don't contain the poisons and the chemicals that actually, you know, kill you from tobacco cigarettes. That despite the fact that 500,000 Americans die from smoking-related deaths each year in this country. None of them are killed by the use of electronic cigarettes, more accurately known as vaping. This comes after the city's Board of Supervisors passed this measure unanimously about 2 weeks ago to ban these devices in San Francisco, at least the sale of these devices. The ordinance says, quote, no person shall sell or distribute an electronic cigarette to a person in San Francisco unless that product has undergone pre-market review by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Now, to date, none of these devices actually have. The FDA has put off its previously planned pre-market review until 2022, I believe, leaving only a mountain of existing science, actual science, from around the world, almost all uniformly finding that vaping is a far safer alternative to cigarettes and the most effective way for many to quit smoking entirely. By the way, I am one such person who, after smoking several packs a day for decades, was able to quit literally overnight thanks to vaping. That, despite such esteemed medical institutions such as the UK's Royal College of Physicians, they were one of the first of one of the earliest to sound the alarms of the dangers of tobacco decades ago. Now, the UK Royal College of Physicians has noted that vaping is at least 95% safer than smoking cigarettes, and they are recommending the use of vaping as a smoking cessation tool for any and all smokers. And yet, up in San Francisco, the Democrats who run that state are doing the exact opposite. This is, you know, in otherwise liberal San Francisco, where Democrats are in charge and they claim to be concerned about health care for all. The health care, the very lives of, I would think, 500,000 Americans a year would be important to them. Nonetheless, that is being ignored for some reason that I really truly don't understand. No matter how much I try to, no matter how many actual scientific reports I actually read, not the reporting on the reports, but the actual science, which is quite clear on the benefits of e-cigs. This is alarming to me. It's alarming to me, particularly, that you've got Democrats who are trying to make it more difficult for Americans to quit smoking, despite the number of lives that can be saved. The alarming first-in-the-nation ban, and this is a ban, as I understand it, in San Francisco, includes a ban on not only brick-and-mortar stores selling these things, but also on online sales that are shipped to a San Francisco address. So you can't even buy them online. The ordinance also applies to flavored tobacco products in addition to e-cigarettes. The measure does not ban the use of vapes among people who are 21 and older, though how will they be able to get any of them if they can't buy them at the store or order them through the mail? That's unknown to me. Mayor Breed's signature comes even as she admits she does not know what the health impacts are for vaping. She told CNN there is, quote, so much we don't know about the health impacts of these products, but we do know that e-cigarette companies are targeting our kids in their advertising and getting them hooked on addictive nicotine products. Well, maybe, but while nicotine is addictive, it's about as harmful as caffeine, according to most studies, and is not the stuff in cigarettes that kills you, in tobacco cigarettes, which e-cigarettes do not have. Moreover, this ban doesn't target sales to kids. It targets sales to everyone, including folks like me who do not smoke today, haven't had one in years, thanks to vaping. Meanwhile, the California State Assembly is now trying to get in on the action as well through a bill that is moving through the Assembly that don't appear to be quite as draconian. I could be wrong. Either way, it would still make it harder for smokers to quit smoking by turning to vaping. Over the years, we have had lawmakers on this show admitting that they were not aware of any science warning that vaping kills. We've had scientists, including one who said, after reading all the science on this, that he would prefer to have his college students vaping in the classroom over smoking cigarettes anywhere. Until now, however, we have not had anyone representing the actual vaping industry on this program, but with these sorts of dangerous restrictions now being put in place in California and elsewhere in the country, often by Democrats, even as those same Democrats are running on health care as a right and needed to save millions of lives, well, I'd like to hear from all voices on this matter in hopes of making some sense on what the hell is going on here, because I do not understand it. Joining me now is David Posh of Voices for Vaping, an organization which claims on their website to be, quote, bringing together Americans from all walks of life to demand access to 21st century technology that will end smoking. David previously served in a senior communications role at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as a communications director in the House of Representatives and for various nonprofit organizations active in the healthcare and public health space. Mr. Posh, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be here.
Really appreciate having you here. First off, your group, Voices for Vaping, I believe, you guys are based in D.C. Is it fair to say you are a lobbying organization?
It's not, actually. So while we are a project of the Vapor Technology Association, we were created by the industry lobbying group. We are we are just a vehicle, a place where folks from all sorts of walks of life can come together to discuss this exciting technology and how it's helped them improve their lives.
Now, so on whose behalf you say the vapor technology, do you or do they accept money from big tobacco companies?
So we were created by the Vapor Technology Association, which represents kind of all parts of the supply chain regarding regarding e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. That's your local vape shops, that's the device manufacturers, the e-liquid manufacturers, and whatnot. We absolutely do not, they do not allow tobacco companies within their ranks and do not accept money from tobacco companies.
Now, one of the frequent critiques that that I see blanketing my television, David, in these tons of paid-for propaganda advertisements is that e-cigarettes are actually a big hoax. They're being backed by big tobacco. It's a trick to get kids hooked on nicotine so that they will, turn to actual cigarettes down the road. How do you respond to that and those commercials that I'm sure everyone has seen by now on TV?
You know, it's funny. The second part of that is always, okay, so, you know, that they offer this premise, as you've said, that e-cigarettes are just some sort of a gateway. And then their proposed solution is, let's just get rid of them and just make sure tobacco products like cigarettes are the only ones actually available still on the store shelves. I mean, I have a public health background, as you just read. Mm-hmm. In my view, vapor technology, vapor products are probably the most exciting public health innovation of my lifetime. And I think they really do truly have the potential to end smoking as we know it. There's over a billion people in the world that are addicted to cigarettes, and I think a good chunk of them can live better and healthier and longer lives with these products. And it would really be a shame if, based on really no science at all, other cities and states and countries choose to follow the model of California and decide to really be more hospitable to traditional cigarettes and tobacco than they are to e-cigarettes.
Yeah, and that's what drives me crazy about this. You know, we talk about politics most often on this show. This is actually a political issue, and it's a political issue that I would think Democrats should want to take note of since, and by the way, it's not all Democrats. There are some Republicans, one of the sponsors of these bills that are moving through the Assembly. But it's a lot of Democrats who claim to be concerned about health care, who claim to want to get rid of tobacco, cigarettes, something that I share a belief in. And then you see something like what happened in San Francisco where they ban vaping, but they allow the cigarettes to continue. How do they explain that? Have you been able to understand this measure that passed in San Francisco? I mean, it would almost be explainable if they banned cigarette sales as well, but they didn't.
Yeah, I have not been able to explain it, to be quite honest with you. San Francisco is a progressive beacon for the whole country and in many ways for the whole world. As you've said, you know, the city and the state lead the country in terms of access to care and access to technology. So much technology is developed in the San Francisco area. But on this one issue, you know, the mayor has chosen to make her city the cigarette capital of the country. And it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that you would ban the cure for one of the worst diseases and one of the biggest public health scourges in the country, but actually leave the products that are so dangerous on the shelves.
I can't, you know, in truth, I wish there was such a thing as vaping when I was a kid, because I cannot even imagine ever, and I still vape, I could never imagine turning back to cigarettes after becoming a vapor, which tastes better, is less dangerous, it's cheaper, it doesn't make you and everybody around you stink, it doesn't have the same secondhand dangers that, for others. I would never go back unless, of course, I was unable to buy my e-juice and, the devices needed for vaping. That's what I fear will happen to these kids that San Francisco claims to be worried about. Are there studies that show vaping is a gateway drug, so to speak, to cigarettes? Because none of the studies I've seen show any such connection, but you look at this stuff more than I do.
I've never seen one either. The FDA has put forward really without any kind of evidence behind it. They've expressed a concern over what they call dual usage, which means that someone would essentially, had never used any kind of tobacco products, would start using e-cigarettes and then eventually transition to traditional combustible cigarettes. Anyone who's ever experienced these products will tell you how crazy that sounds, right? I mean, the idea, as you know, of getting used to these flavored products, mm-hmm. products that are much lighter, that are not, do not nearly have all the horrible effects a cigarette does. The idea that you would somehow use that and then want to transition to a gross, disgusting cigarette, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the smell test, and there's certainly no data to support that that's ever happening.
The smell test. I see what you did there, David Posh. Juul, which is one of the largest e-cigarette companies, this is not one of the mom and pop vape stores which I deal with. It's a big company, and they are based apparently in San Francisco. They are moving a ballot measure forward, or trying to overturn this ban. In San Francisco, they say that the city's ban on sales would, quote, drive former adult smokers who successfully switched to vapor products back to deadly cigarettes. It would deny the opportunity to switch for current adult smokers and create a thriving black market instead of addressing the actual causes of underage access and use. But having companies like Juul, again, these big companies, not the most of the vaping that goes on, the mom and pop shops, but having companies like Juul been marketing to kids with fruity flavors and such, have they done enough to prevent teens from starting up in the first place? Should they do more as you see it?
So I think marketing, first off, to answer that question directly, I'll stipulate that I would never deign to speak for Juul. I don't work for them or have an affiliation with them. But I do not believe that most of the mainstream companies you've talked about have engaged in marketing towards children. In any industry, you're always going to have the bad apples, right? A lot of times you see companies from overseas. You'll find, especially older, mm-hmm. Some older advertisements that I would view as problematic. But I think you're correct in identifying marketing as the real answer here. I don't think products inherently are attractive to young people. I think if you try to market these products alongside cartoons or imagery that's attractive to kids, yeah, that is a problem, and we should ban it. I can tell you the responsible members of the industry, including Juul, have long adopted marketing standards. The Vapor Technology Association requires all of its members to adopt some pretty strict marketing standards that don't let them come anywhere near marketing to children. And I think that's an area that e-cigarette companies should work with regulators on. That's the solution. Let's cramp down on the marketing. Let's use technology to keep these products away from kids. But let's not take them away from the adult smokers who need them as a way to quit cigarettes and lead healthier lifestyles.
I know I got to let you go at the bottom of the hour here, so I want to try to jam in a couple of quick questions here.
Sure.
Democrats, I mentioned, who claim to be the most interested in health care, they seem to be the ones leading the charge on this. Are you able to square the idea that Democrats are making it more difficult for adults to take advantage of technology that could save literally millions of lives, millions of American lives each year, even while they're calling for health care as a universal basic right for all? Who is behind that effort? Why are Democrats on the wrong side of this issue, on the wrong side of history here?
So I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think this is a partisan issue necessarily. I think some of the strongest opposition has come from Republicans within President Trump's Food and Drug Administration. I think, you see random Democrats and random Republicans that oppose this, and random Democrats and random Republicans that see the benefits and choose to support it. I think a good model to look for if you want to see what good progressive small democratic outreach and acceptance of this issue looks like is the United Kingdom. In England, they have, not exactly known as a loose regulatory environment. They have totally embraced this. The National Health Service literally pays for advertisements showing how many doctors recommend their patients switch to e-cigarettes as a way to quit. You have vape shops that are literally being built in public hospitals in England right now. It's a totally different approach, and I think that's the model that will be, progressive Democratic leaders in the United States should be looking to follow.
Well, now this new measure working its way through the state government here in California, this will also apply new restrictions on this what I regard as life-saving technology, frankly. But for the state government, it is not as draconian as what they're doing in San Francisco. This is according to a press release. This is from Assemblymember Adam Gray of Merced, Democrat. He's the chair of the Assembly Governmental Organization Committee. Assemblymember Jordan Cunningham, a Republican from San Luis Obispo, and Assemblymember Robert Rivas of Hollister, also a Democrat. It would put restrictions on the packing and marketing of e-cigarettes and, among other things, restrict the availability of what they called flavored e-cigarettes. What would that measure do exactly, and would it keep me from being able to buy my e-juice through the mail? And by the way, double espresso is my favorite flavor. I can't imagine a lot of kids liking that, but maybe I'm wrong.
So I think that Assemblyman Gray's bill would make it a lot harder, right? So I personally am not a fan of that bill, precisely because it makes it much more difficult for adult former smokers like yourself to access these products. I think the answer lies in marketing standards. The answer lies in using technology. We've experimented with Bluetooth geofencing when you could literally ban it. These products don't work in schools, for instance. Assemblyman Gray's measure, the idea of just saying you can't buy certain flavors, or you can't buy them in a in a convenience store where you'd be able to buy cigarettes, that doesn't make sense to me, and I think that's a step backwards for public health.
Before I let you go, is there anything that you would recommend? We've got a lot of listeners in California, of course. This is coming up for a hearing on, I think, Wednesday of this week. Is there any recommendations you have for our listeners to take action who may have loved ones who are smokers who would love them to turn to this rather than dying through cigarettes? What's your strategy for folks to do from here?
Well, number one, if your listeners do have relatives or they themselves are addicted to cigarettes, first thing I would say at the very top is talk to your local vape shop. They're in every community. They're important pillars and members of the community, and they're very approachable, and they can provide different solutions for you that'll help you quit your terrible habit. I think that's the number one thing I'd love people to take away. Secondly, if folks want to get active, in terms of the grassroots movement to protect these products, they can check out voicesforvaping.com. They can follow us at facebook.com/voicesforvaping or on Twitter @voicesforvaping. And we're constantly adding engagement opportunities and ways they can stay involved and ways they can contact their members, their assemblymen and representatives in Sacramento to keep these products available for the adult smokers who need them and nobody else.
David Posh is the spokesperson for Voices for Vaping. As he notes, you can find them at voicesforvaping.com and on the Facebooks and the Twitters, both @voicesforvaping. David, I really appreciate you joining us today. Good luck with your effort. And I realize it ain't a fun fight to have, but I think it's an important one that we need to talk about. So thanks for joining us today, David.
Thanks for having me, Brad. Take care.
You bet. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here. I know some folks want to get in on this conversation. I'm willing to talk, as I mentioned, about anything that I discussed at the top of this show or about vaping. I know this is not the most fun topic to discuss. I just happen to think it's important. I just happen to think if we have an opportunity to literally save the lives of 500,000 Americans each year, we ought to take it, rather than working against it as they're doing in San Francisco and now potentially across the entire state of California. This drives me absolutely nuts. It doesn't get a lot of airtime in the Trump era, so we try to sneak it in when we can. Our phone number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We'll also get back to politics and much more after this. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast. Right here at the gates of hell at the beautiful KPFK studios in lovely North Hollywood or somewhere thereabouts. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Eric Swalwell, it turns out, is backing down. I'll try to get to that in a moment. But Des, you wanted to jump in here with a thought before I get to some of these phone calls on this?
Yeah, I mean, in knowing you and seeing how you had quit smoking immediately after trying the vaping, and also knowing other people who have done so as well, who have quit smoking cigarettes in favor of vaping. You know, what I think is behind most of these ordinances and laws and rules and regulations to restrict vaping is that people may think that they're striking at big tobacco, but not really. They're actually hitting smokers who are trying to quit cigarettes.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and it's important for people to understand that the mechanism is different. Smoking is not vaping.
Yep.
Vaping is not smoking. They're different things, and they have a different they're both nicotine delivery systems, but so are nicotine patches and nicotine gums, and that's what vaping is most similar
to. Nicotine patches, nicotine gums, and by the way, nicotine vaporizers, all of which are sold by Big Pharma. Big Pharma gives millions, billions of dollars to politicians, Democrats and Republicans alike, as far as I know. I'm not saying that's why the Democrats are doing this, but I don't know why they are doing this. Let me take some quick calls on this before we turn back to politics. Although this is politics, and frankly, this is saving people's lives. Peter in Los Angeles, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
So I am concerned because I've worked in the field of addiction for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I'm a hypnotherapist, so I'm not a, you know, traditional. I'm your sort of rebel therapist.
Yeah.
But in working with, say, cigarette addiction, it was actually relatively easy to get people to stop smoking if they were willing to. So I've gone, you know, these 12 years, let's say, being able to get people, at least about 80, 90% of the people that come to me as permanent ex-smokers.
Yeah.
Now this vaping thing has come along. And I'm finding my clients are reporting that they're actually ingesting more nicotine than they ever have.
Yeah.
And
what's the problem with that, Peter?
Because they don't like it. They don't like the feeling of it. They don't like how their body is. They don't like how their body is taking in all these chemicals. And you're putting chemicals in your body that aren't naturally good for your body. So, and they're becoming even more reliant upon the Juul. In fact, I once had a client walk about a mile in a blizzard to get a cigarette, and now that same behavior is happening with the Juul.
Sure, but so Peter, let me ask you, are you do you drink coffee?
I don't, no.
Oh, okay. So, but you...
What I'm concerned about, Brad, is that there's becoming an even higher level of addiction, and that they are becoming even more reliant on something. And what I found is that most people that have a cigarette and vaping issue... Nicotine, in my experience with my practice, is worse than heroin when it's the number one emotional suppressant. And when we get people to be real with their emotions and really talk about whatever traumas, whatever issues, anxieties that they've actually gone through, then they don't need the nicotine. They don't need the cigarette.
Okay.
And I'm just seeing...
What if people like me actually enjoy the nicotine? It's not deadly. It doesn't kill you. It's kind of like caffeine. What's the problem with that?
You know, I again, legally, I don't think, you know, I was on CNN talking about how marijuana should be legal and stuff like that. I believe people should be able to make their own rights, but I don't believe that this is a good thing and something that should be encouraged.
Okay.
So in fact, I see a very negative play on it altogether.
How about we wait? Since smoking rates, actually smoking cigarette rates are plummeting, why don't we wait until we get rid of all the cigarettes and then we can worry about whether we should get rid of the devices that help people quit smoking?
I'd rather have people play and pay attention to their emotions, actually do stuff about dealing with the emotions that are causing the need to medicate themselves and get rid of the cigarettes and the vaping at the same time.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that thought. I'm not sure how realistic ultimately it is, given the number of people who are actually killed dead by cigarettes. But I hear you, and I appreciate the call. Karen in Costa Mesa. Hey, Karen, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
I don't know where the idea that nicotine is somehow helpful, and you're selling this idea that vaping is going to save people's lives.
Correct.
Where's the science in that?
Where's the science in that?
Yeah, can you name any medical association that stands behind that concept?
Sure. Oh, yeah, tons of them. I mentioned one in the introduction here, the UK's Royal College of Physicians.
Well, no, they don't actually endorse vaping or nicotine use.
Actually, they do.
Well, I'd love to see where you found that information, because it's not real.
Actually, it is real, Karen, and I understand you might not care for the idea of vaping. But the science, if you care about science, and I hear from, you know, Democrats all the time talking about, you know, Donald Trump, he's an anti-science, you know, he's a science denier. Well, the science says that vaping is 95% safer than smoking cigarettes. And that's because they don't say 100% safer for anything, but it's as safe as you can get compared to cigarettes, according to the UK's Royal College of Physicians. And I could give you all kinds of other people as well.
Huge leap there to say I'm a Democrat or have something to do with Donald Trump or anything. It's not a political issue. It's a health issue that I'm talking about.
Right.
And nicotine is not good for people. It's not helpful.
Well,
that is false.
Okay. So, and you're basing your science on who exactly? Because I gave you one institution there, and I've got others that
Nicotine is a known poison.
Okay.
It's
so
not
you.
Good for
Yeah. So, well, so is caffeine. So is, you know, there's nicotine in tomatoes. Should we not have
caffeine? Don't jump to a different subject. Stay on the topic. Nicotine is not good for people, and to sell that it's good for people is incorrect. It's not true.
So should we ban alcohol?
Probably. That's not good for you either.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that I'm going to enforce that. I just think for you to sell nicotine as a good thing for people is not honest.
I don't think I sold it as a good thing for people. I pointed out that the nicotine is not what kills you in cigarettes. It's all the other crap. And if we can do away with all of the other crap and save a few million lives while we're doing it, that sounds like win-win to me.
How do you know what crap they're adding into your little vape cocktail? You have no idea what's in there today.
Okay. Your concerns are fair enough. I happen to know who it is that I buy my juice from, so I don't have those concerns, but, you know, fair enough.
You don't know what oils or chemicals are added in to make those flavors.
True. Do you buy any food from a grocery store, Karen?
Well, we're talking about nicotine.
Do you buy any food? Well, if you're using the argument that we don't know what's in the things that we purchase at a store, then I assume you grow all of your own food, make all of everything that you eat, and that, you know, you're not taking a chance that somebody's putting something in there you don't like.
Again, you make leaps off topic.
Okay.
So if we're talking about vaping, and we don't really know what's the added chemicals, or the long-term...
No, we do know what the added chemicals are. Maybe someone's sneaking something poisonous in there, but that wouldn't make much sense. Right now, we do know what is in the juice, at least the juice that I buy, and it is saving lives. So, Karen, that's what the science says.
It's not saving lives at all.
Okay.
It may get people off smoking to a new habit. That's all that it really does.
A new habit that doesn't kill you. Thanks, Karen. I do appreciate your thoughts here and your call. I just happen to disagree with you. I'll do one more here before I was trying to get back to politics. But all right, Sasha in L.A., welcome to the broadcast, Sasha.
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm right on the same page with you there about vaping. I quit smoking about 20 years ago, so I had no need to try to get any device to help me quit smoking.
Mm.
I took up vaping because I go, oh, this is delicious when I walked into a vape shop.
It is.
And tried about 30 different flavors for 2 hours.
Yeah, it is.
I just have to keep doing this.
Well, you know what? It is delicious. And a lot of people who vape juice that has zero nicotine in it.
That's
and you
right.
can decrease,
right.
you can control how much nicotine is or isn't in your juice.
Right.
So it is a lifesaver. Yeah.
So the nicotine thing is, you know, if nicotine's an issue, then it can help you wean yourself off and you can control the exact amount that you're intaking every day.
Yep.
The only issue is the flavorants are intended for ingestion, not through the lungs. And so they may have unintended effects on the lungs. But the glycerin, propylene glycol, that's something I wouldn't necessarily say is good for us, but those things, we know what those are, and the flavorants, that can be many things. So the problem is, after doing this heavily for over 3 years, I kind of go, yeah, it's not helping me, so I just basically dropped it like a rock.
Well, good.
It wasn't a big deal. It was like few days and I was over the effects of feeling like I'm missing nicotine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hear you. And that's good. And that's what people can do. And, right. You know, by the way, if propylene glycol is a problem, they should stop putting it in things like ChapStick and moisturizer that you put on your face and on your lips if it is, in fact, dangerous. And you're right. We might find out down the road with, longitudinal studies that there's some danger. Right now, that is not what the science says. The science says quite the opposite.
Better than all of the commercial cigarette additives, which number in the hundreds.
Yep. And thousands.
Absolutely makes it addictive on purpose.
Yep. Thousands. And they make it addictive on purpose. And the burning creates all of these chemicals that just doesn't happen in vaping.
Including carbon monoxide, which is absolutely deadly and carcinogenic.
Yep.
And tar. And,
yep. Yeah. And I can tell you, I had an experience the other day a few weeks ago, where my battery on my vape looked like it was going to run out and I was nowhere near home. And I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? Oh, if I can't, find a vape or someplace to plug in, I'd have to go back to cigarettes, which is the last thing I'd want to do. Sasha, I got a bunch more calls. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Everything is – I knew people would want to call in on this. I got all of this politics stuff I'm ready to go with, Des. But –
Well, it's helpful, I hope, at least for listeners to have an idea about what this specific issue is about and what the differences are between vaping versus smoking, and get more information to when this comes to their own.
Well, I will tell you whenever
that they can understand what it means.
And whenever we have covered this, I will tell you that I have heard from people for months thereafter thanking me for covering this, that they stopped smoking, they were able to go to vaping like immediately after hearing about this, or they had family members they were able to help do it. So
And again, remember the British health industry, those studies all say it's a 95% harm reduction. Granted, nobody is saying, hey, this is fantastic, everybody should try it. They're basically saying this is a harm reduction. If you're in this place, if you're a smoker, this is a 95% harm reduction. I think that that's a big deal and people should know about that.
Let me take a quick break and we will come back with more calls and, yes, some political stories I'm going to try to fit in here in the few minutes we have left. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman and this is The Bradcast. Stevie Wonder for you. There's a reason we're playing that. So let me try to catch up with everything I can. First, okay, Eric Swalwell of California, Congressman from Swalwell, he announced on Monday that he is ending his 2020 presidential bid. He is out. During the first debate, you may remember Swalwell as the one who took a shot at Vice President Joe Biden, saying that he should pass the torch to a new generation of leadership. Swalwell is 38 years old. He's going to is announced that he will instead be running for a fifth term for congressman. He's the first major Democratic candidate to drop out from this huge field of Democrats, more than 20. But while that field is getting smaller today, it also may be getting larger because billionaire environmentalist activist and Tom Steyer, who has spent millions on his TV campaign calling for Trump to be impeached, he's reportedly considering getting into the race. And while I think there are plenty to choose from, frankly, already having someone hammering on impeachment in the group might not be a bad thing after all, as well as another candidate along with Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, and we'll see how long he can last, who is focused on issues regarding our climate crisis. I'll get to the other things, I guess, on tomorrow's thrilling broadcast. But as far as Stevie Wonder goes, I just got to give you this very quickly. Last week on one of our shows, we shared an example of some very, very poor writing at CNN, CNN.com, from a story on Trump's plans to have tanks at the 4th of July celebration that he threw for himself last week at the Lincoln Memorial. The story before the event over at CNN discussed his plans for these tanks as part of the celebration, which read, as I shared at the time last week, quote, Trump later confirmed tanks would be present during remarks in the Oval Office, which you can think about and decide for yourself how many tanks they could actually fit inside the Oval Office. But I mention it again today because of the story about Stevie Wonder, who has announced that he's going to have a kidney transplant in September. He says he has a donor. He says he's going to be fine. We hope so. But once again, bad writing at CNN, their headline, quote, Stevie Wonder announces he'll be having kidney surgery during London concert. So I'd like to get some tickets to that concert. Anyway, back to our phones on anything you want to talk about. 818-985-5735. Let me go to, we got several different bills here. Which one do I go to? Let me go to Bill in Lake Elsinore. Hey, Bill, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you, Bill?
Great topic. For 40 years, I smoked 4 packs a day, but I cut it in half.
Yeah?
And my lung feels great.
Now, so what you mean you cut it in half, so now you smoke 2 packs a day?
And my lung feels great.
Yeah, well, you know, if you tried vaping, your lungs would feel even better, Bill.
Lung, I got a lung removed.
Oh, my God. Oh, you cut your lungs in half.
I cut the smoking in half, so my lungs feels great, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So do you, yeah. Okay, that's it. All right, thanks, Bill. I don't know what he meant or not, but we'll just go with it. Some folks from the Facebooks who are yelling at me. Let's see. Claudia G. says, you sound like a nicotine junkie, says Claudia, who is correct about that. I am a nicotine junkie. She says, I quit smoking without vaping, so stop crying. All right. Okay. I guess we should all do it the way Claudia wants us to, you know. I don't know how Claudia did quit. Maybe she just stopped doing it. But I do know there's a billion-dollar industry out there from Big Pharma selling nicotine patches, nicotine inhalers, all sorts of nicotine gums. You see them every day. There is no, apparently... Those are just fine. They're not banning those in San Francisco. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why they would want to make it harder for people to save their lives. And yes, they are not banning cigarettes. Let's go to, we'll get in Morris. Give him a little more than a second or two. Hey, Morris from Long Beach. Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Brad, I love you, Brad. I don't know why all these other folks don't have the same spirit towards you.
They don't care for me. They don't
care. To your attention.
Yeah.
You got a guy named Anthony Rendon. The pharmaceutical industry paid him $700,000 not to allow the state legislature here in California to vote on giving everybody universal health care. Now, that was a Democrat. And it reminds me of something that Jimmy Dore once said. I call him Jimmy Doe. But Jimmy Dore, he said that the Democratic Party is paid to lose. And after I watched our president commit treason right in front of all of us, I'm scratching my head wondering if this guy's out on the money. And before I end, Brad, I want to...
Let me ask you more. Where did our president commit treason? Where are you talking about?
Let me see. When was this when he said that the FBI director was wrong? Oh, my God. I don't have my notebook in front of me, Brad. I hate to speak about something.
No, that's all right. I appreciate that. Get your treason notebook ready next time.
Donald Trump is straight up guilty of treason, so is members of his family.
All right.
But I want to leave you with this that I think is even more important than that family that we all know is a criminal organization. I want to direct my attention to those rabbis that were arrested and went to jail, speaking up for those kids that are caged like chickens being sold for food. All right, they went down and they got busted. They got criminal records now, Brad.
Yep.
They're my kind of people. That's why I want to be one of them. All right.
I hear you, Morris. Thanks, man. I do appreciate that. Yeah, that was a Jewish group who went down there and said, when we said never forget, we meant never forget, even when, yes, the concentration camps are in our own country in the U.S. Do we have time for one more here? Let's see if we can sneak in Sean from Riverside. Hey, Sean, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, long time listener, sponsor, what have you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Also, fellow vapor smoker, what have you.
That's a spirit.
Something I've heard little to nothing discussed, and even on NPR or KPFK, is what exactly are we stuck with if Donald Trump were to actually be impeached? We have to deal with Mike Pence as
right.
the president.
Right.
Which is horrific.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But as far as I know, Mike Pence has not violated the Constitution. He has not done any. Well, and if he does, then he needs to be impeached next. I have no problem impeaching the entire goddamn cabinet if necessary when you break the laws, violate the Constitution.
Well, because he already openly said with his own little clan, his little gatherings, that he wants to alter the Constitution for making abortion illegal across the nation and so forth. And
well, altering the Constitution is not illegal. That's how the Constitution works. If you can get an amendment into the Constitution, then so be it, right?
Well, that's one thing, but one thing for an amendment, but if he wants to try to rewrite it with the help of Brett Kavanaugh, that would be different.
Yeah, that would be a different. That would be a problem. I would have a problem with that from our, but I wouldn't put it past our stolen U.S. Supreme Court. Thanks, Sean. I do appreciate that call.
Just one last thing. Mike Pence is the one who got Brett Kavanaugh into office, into the Supreme Court justice.
How so?
He was the final vote. He was the Mike Pence was the final factor vote to get him in.
I see. Okay. Well, it was, except was it tied? I don't think it was tied. I think
Mike Pence flipped the tide.
What was it? I can't even remember now. That seems a thousand years ago.
Brett right. Kavanaugh can get in.
All right. Well, I don't like him, but that's not an impeachable offense. So, but listen.
Radar open.
Oh, yeah. And give him time. Once he became president, I give him about 2 minutes before he starts committing impeachable offenses and 3 minutes before the Democrats tell us why they can't possibly impeach him. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate the call. And I appreciate the calls from everyone who called in and tweeted in and Facebooked in, whether you agreed with me or not on any of this. I don't care. I'm about democracy. I love to hear from folks who agree with me and who disagree. Anyway. You know what I'm saying. I wish I knew what I was saying. I had a whole bunch of stuff that I was planning to cover on today's Thrilling Bradcast. I guess that's going to have to wait until tomorrow's Thrilling Bradcast. Until then, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, D'Angelo Jones, to my guest today, David Posh of VoicesForVaping.com, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. Missed any portion of today's program? Download it for free at bradblog.com. Thanks to those who support us at bradblog.com/donate. You can drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am The Brad Blog. That's it. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.